heart is the best.
You got the best.
The hardest band in the world.
Hey, greetings from Jindal. I'm Jody Havnott.
Hey, this is Clinton.
And you're listening to the Strange Ways Podcast.
Yes! Hey, everybody.
How are you?
Hi. We're back.
We are back. We're here without D-Rock. We're here without Rachel or Slade as well.
Yes.
And we're here to do a Strange Ways Kiss Podcast. What do you think about that, Clinton?
Cool, man.
Right on.
Just me and you.
Yeah. Never done a dual episode except for the... We actually tried to record this before last Monday, and something went wrong, and so here we are doing it again.
Yes.
This is going to be episode 11.2.0 or whatever.
Boing.
So anyway, me and Clinton decided we're going to just press on while D-Rock's down and out, and we're just going to take up the flag for our brother, and we decided we're going to talk about today was the Kiss makeup singles. Hell yeah, what do you think?
That's cool, man.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting when you look at the whole list of what... we looked this up on Wikipedia just to make it quick and easy for ourselves, and it's just kind of crazy that the songs they decided to pick, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know, they don't pick the right ones off the record, I think. And I think, I don't know, what do you think?
I'm not sure what to think.
It's like...
Because, I mean, if you look... You know, the first album, you got Nothing to Lose, which I loved. It's a great song, but why not, like, Deuce or Strutter?
Right. It's like they were struggling all this time, and they weren't releasing the right singles.
Yeah.
They picked the wrong songs, dude.
Wonder what
you said it last week when we were talking about it. It's exactly what you said. It's like they didn't... The label wasn't picking the right singles for the band if they really wanted them to break. Because if you look at it, let's just start it up, man. The first one's what? What you got? What you got?
Nothing to Lose.
Backed with what? Love theme from Kiss. Okay, now tell me the thinking in that. I mean, Nothing to Lose isn't like a single song to me. It's like a filler track. I always looked at it like that.
Yeah, I actually like Nothing to Lose a lot more now than I did when I was a kid.
Yeah, I'm not saying it sucks or anything, but it's not like
right. It would have been a good like B-side to Deuce.
Yes.
Yeah, I could feel
or
that.
Or Strutter.
I think though that each single they should have a different singer on every side, like Paul's on A, Gene's on B, you know.
Right. Yeah,
Peter's on A,
cool.
Paul's on B, whatever, you know.
Yes.
But it's like, yeah, Nothing to Lose just isn't the strongest track on the album, and to me. I think if I was picking them, I would have started with Strutter. You know, that would be
yeah.
the first single. But we get to that a little bit later. So it's like the first one comes out, back to Love Theme from Kiss. Why would
like,
you put that
huh?
in? I mean, maybe they just looked at B-sides as like the throwaway. I guess.
I guess. But I mean, why not try and get another hot song out there? You're trying to break, you
right.
know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, so just,
yes.
like, it'd be like two A-sides.
Yeah, I mean, especially on the first few singles, I mean, you're going to be wanting to put a good side on the back, or a good
yeah.
song on the back, too. I mean,
right.
why not? What do you got to lose?
Yeah,
nothing.
Exactly. Maybe that's why they put it out there, as the fucking A-side of the first single. But nevertheless, it did not chart, you know? So, you know, we were right.
Yeah, as usual.
Yeah, as usual. So that was February 1874, correct?
Yes.
Did not chart. Next, you got May 10th, 74. They released the old Kissin' Time, and once again, backed with Nothing to Lose. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Why push it again? Like you said before, it's like, they really must have loved that fucking song.
I mean, Nothing to Lose would have been fine for the backside of Deuce.
Yes.
Right.
You know, I mean...
The backside of any of them, really.
Yeah, but, I mean, Kissin' Time, really?
Well, you know the story. They... You know, Bogart
right.
made him do it for the kissing contest.
Yeah, I forgot.
But it's like, it's interesting that it did chart. It went to the 83 in the U.S.
Yeah.
But Nothing to Lose as the B-side this time. If it didn't succeed as an A-side.
Yeah, why put it out there again?
Right.
Throw something else out there.
Yeah, give them a taste of, you know, a Paul. A fucking Paul vocal.
Something.
I mean Paul sings a song on Kissing Time, too.
Basic common sense tells you that, hey.
Yeah, it didn't work the first time, bro.
Right.
Why are you going to put on a B-side now? It's like downgrading it. Because back then, the A-side was the one that, you know, that's the A-side.
Yeah.
B-side's like, you know, just like the throwaway. You know, it's backed with, I don't know. To me, backed with, as a, you know, it used to be like, it would be Nothing to Lose backed with love theme, right?
Right.
If it's backing it, it should be strong. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It doesn't make any sense. But so, yeah. So then Kissin' Time actually does chart with Nothing to Lose as the B-side. But it's like, Nothing to Lose. They really like that song.
Yeah.
It is. Maybe they just thought it was like one of the only ones that wasn't exactly that dark. You know, like Strutter's about, you know, hookers on the streets and shit.
Right.
Black Diamond's a little evil. But there's other ones. What, I mean, they could have done. What could they have done? 100,000 years? Maybe not. Because it's too long. I don't know.
They could have shortened it because, I mean, if you ask me, 100,000 Years is definitely
one of the strongest songs on the album.
I mean, that's a badass song.
That's what I'm talking about. A lot of people, I don't know. I've always thought that was one of the best ones on the album.
Oh, yeah, it's one of my favorite Kiss songs of all time.
Yeah. But, yeah, they could have maybe edited out the drum solo part.
Right.
But in general, I hate when they do the edits.
Right.
Like, they edited Detroit Rock City. It's brutal.
Yeah, it's crap.
It's like... And even the video.
They ruin everything that way, but...
Yeah, if you're used to the whole thing. Like the video for, you remember the video for Come On and Love Me? Leaves out verses and shit. It's like, what's going on here? But I guess, you know, for time restraints. But none of those Kiss songs are that long.
Right.
I don't even think 100,000 Years
is that long.
Come
On and Love Me is, like, probably not even 3 minutes.
Right.
Insufficient diet at the moment.
Yeah, it's like, all those songs on Dressed to Kill are short and fucking sweet. So anyways, yeah, so Kissin' Time charts 83 in the U.S., right? In the U.S. I didn't write anything else about anywhere else. It must not have charted anywhere else.
Right.
I mean, 83 in the U.S., that's nothing. So then what they got? What do they do? What do they do?
Finally, somebody pulled their head out of their ass and put out right. Strutter.
Yeah, on the 10th of August, Strutter comes out backed with what? 100,000 Years. Now see, that's a damn good single. Two
right.
strong songs. This
yeah,
is what they should have started with.
Yeah, that's killer.
If you got that as your first Kiss single, when they first came out, people, they might have made it on the radio.
Yeah, I mean, Strutter could have been
commercial, bro.
Right. Yeah.
It's catchy.
It's awesome.
Nothing to Lose isn't that commercial. Maybe they thought the piano and all that shit like they had
in
the studio.
I don't know.
The version of On Alive of Nothing to Lose is way stronger. Just a little footnote for you.
Right.
But, so yeah, Strutter comes out with 100,000 Years, and I would buy that in a heartbeat if I ever see it in a record store. You know, that's killer. So then, you know, but it does not chart. Again, it doesn't even chart. It's like Paul finally gets his chance and steps up to the plate, swings, a miss. You know?
So maybe we're wrong.
I don't know. I think time has proved it that Paul has the... I mean, you know, this is all opinion, but Paul's the best singer in the band.
Yes.
Yeah.
Always has
without
been.
Without a doubt.
You know, Gene writes great songs and, you know, does
funny
well.
Funny innuendo
his,
things right. and stuff.
I look at Gene Simmons' songwriting, it's just like slowly degrading as he goes. Like, it started way up here, though, you know, at the top, and then through the years it gets
Dude,
worse.
Dude, I don't
and
like
worse.
How Gene's makeup has changed in the last few years.
I don't
it's
either.
All skinny like.
Skinny and pointy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like
I don't like
when
that
they
either.
First.
A lot of that's his face, though, dude. His face ain't...
I think it's actually skinnier than it was. I was looking at it.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, though. It looks like... It's even, like, pointier.
Yeah, it's real
rather
sharp.
Than rounded.
Yeah.
You know, on the... I don't know. I know what you're saying, though. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of the way Gene looks anymore. He just used to look so damn cool.
Oh, yeah!
And I think that was because... He was a lot younger and thinner, you know?
Right.
And... I don't know. The whole thing with Kiss for me is like when we first got into them, when they weren't in the makeup, when we see those old makeup pictures, dude, it's like, wow, look at how cool and young and badass they must have been, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you picture yourself at that age. I don't think I could have done what Kiss did at that age, you know? when I was that age. I was playing big shows and shit, but it wasn't nothing like Kiss, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing near what Kiss was doing, but we played in front of a lot of people and shit all the time, but nothing like Kiss.
Well, obviously. Gene and Paul had, you know, they had a vision or whatever, and they were, I mean, they would have had to have, you know.
It's like the dynamic duo, dude. They could not be stopped.
I mean, they would have had to have, like, been able to push each other.
Yeah, they worked very well together and still do, man. They've lasted longer than most marriages, you know, those two. And it's like, you know, you've heard it all before. It's like a marriage, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah. You know, Gene and Paul, say what you will, it's their fucking band and always has been, you know. People want to talk about this, that, and the other. But it's Gene and Paul's band, dude, and always has been. And don't get me wrong, I love Ace and Peter, but it's always been Gene and Paul's band.
Yeah.
Because they wrote most of the shit.
Right.
Whoever writes the songs, it's their fucking band, basically. Because if you don't have that guy writing the songs, it ain't that band, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the way it is. That's how it is in the Haddonfields. Oh, never mind. that's stupid to talk about that. Okay, so anyways, Strutter does not chart. October 22nd, 74, they let the old Let Me Go rock and roll back with Hotter Than Hell. And see, that's cool.
Let Me Go.
I've never thought of Let Me Go Rock and Roll as a strong A side, though. You know,
me either.
I wouldn't have chosen.
I mean, it's right there with nothing.
That was
to
their
lose.
Original closer, though. You watch Coventry. That's the rock and roll night of its day. That's the big encore jam. I understand it's and they're a lot similar, you know. Typical rock song in A, you know. But it rocks and everything. I do like that they, you know, it's Gene on the A and Paul on the back. You know what I mean? So you get both guys.
Right.
Peter still hasn't made his singing debut. Oh, by the way, Let Me Go Rock and Roll did not chart. Back with Hotter Than Hell.
Yeah.
Interesting they put Hotter Than Hell as the B-side, right?
Yeah, why would you do that?
That's the names. It's the fucking title track of the album. And it should have been B-side?
It should have been reversed.
I wouldn't even have chose either one of those for the first single of Hotter
Than
Hell.
I mean, I wouldn't either, but I think I would, I mean... Just coming home.
Yeah, coming home.
But I think I would save that for like maybe the second or third.
Yeah, but
and
if
put
you're
out
in that position,
like Hotter
still
Than Hell, because that's a good one. It's got a cuss word in it.
Right. Yeah. I never liked Hotter Than Hell as much as most of the songs on the album, though.
Right.
I like it, but it's not a strong song like it should be. And maybe that's the recording of it. Because it does fucking rock on a live.
Parasites
kick ass. Even Strange Ways, our namesake.
Oh, yeah. I mean there's a half a dozen choices.
Yeah. You know, Gene laid a vocal down for Strange Ways, and Peter threw one of his little kitty fits, and he got to sing it, or he was going to quit the fucking band, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Supposedly. But I'd love to hear a version of Gene singing it,
yeah.
The whole thing. You can hear him a lot on the chorus. You can hear Gene big time on it, but, you know, during the verse, it would have been Gene, too. I think it fits his persona.
Yes.
Right.
So yeah, Let Me Go Rock and Roll, Gene's notorious song to fuck up the lyrics.
Right.
We've talked about that all the time, but it's so true. Everybody knows that. Did not chart though, right? Yeah. No charting on the old Let Me Go backed with Hotter Than Hell. So that's close to Halloween 74, and they don't release another single till April 2nd, 75. What is it? It's Rock and Roll All Night back with what?
Getaway.
I love that. You know I love that song. I think it's cool that they used Getaway. It's fucking rocking.
Yeah, it is.
I always love that
cool
song.
It's cool that they chose that one, but surprising, like, because that song, that album should have had a bunch of hits, you know?
Dress to Kill, you know, you're preaching to the fucking choir with me. But yeah, I mean, I like Getaway, you know, because... You know, Peter gets a chance to be on a fucking single.
Right.
It's pretty cool. And he sounds really good on that one.
Yes.
Peter rips on that song, dude.
Yeah, we used to play that one.
We did. I would love to do that one again. We will get back on the covers out there, Kiss Army. I've told you before, but until D-Rock comes home, we're off the covers for a little while. I could maybe hook up some karaoke and let Clinton sing some Kiss karaoke for you folks. Hit us up on Facebook if you want to hear that. Yeah, I'll totally make him do it. I even have, like, I do have Easy As It Seems.
easy as it would be.
Then I wouldn't have to even do all the music and shit. I mean, yeah. You could just sing it. It'd be kick ass.
That'd be cool.
I don't know if it would sound as rocking, but something that I'm not opposed to. If the Kiss Army wants to hear it, let us know. We'll get Clinton doing some Kiss karaoke until D-Rock comes home. It'd be crazy. I'll host it. I'll be like, up next, we got Clinton to the stage. Yeah. And all that.
And after that, we have Clinton again.
Clinton again. And then after that,
more
Clinton. Fuck yeah, that'd be awesome. So yeah, that would be fucking awesome. And let us know, Kiss Army. We can do that for you. So anyways, Rock and Roll All Night, you know, we always thought that it was the song that fucking broke them. But it only made it to 68 as a single in the U.S.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. I guess it would build some momentum because at least
yeah, you would
it's
have
the
thought,
highest charting in the U.S. so far for them.
It would have been like top 20 or at least top 40. Yeah.
Well, once it came out, well, we'll get there. But it, this is the, you know, Dressed to Kill version. It's not right. The live version. So it's back with Getaway. Made it to 68 in the U.S., 74 in Canada. It's respectable, you know.
Yeah.
They did tour Canada a lot in the early days. So that's pretty awesome. They got something out of it, you know. It paid off a little bit. So then, you know, coming off of Rock and Roll Night back with Getaway, they come back on July 10th in 75 with Come On and Love Me back with Getaway. It's like, come on, dude. Once again, man, give us something different, you know.
Yeah,
maybe I'm the record buyer that's at the store who only buys singles from the popular new acts, you know.
Yeah, maybe I want to listen to anything from my baby. Maybe that's up my alley.
Yeah, love her all I can. Yeah. Hello. But
I'm really surprised still that I mean, Come On and Love Me, that's awesome.
That's a single for sure. Come On and Love Me, that's an A cut, I'd say. I love that song. One of the strongest Paul songs on the album.
Cosmic.
But, you know, like we just talked about, Getaway, it's a great song, but you don't want it twice.
Yeah.
What if you're a guy who collects all the singles, you know, from day one? It's like, cool, new Kiss singles out. And they give you the same shit again?
Yeah, thanks.
You know, they should at least give you a live version.
Yeah, like so that'd be cool.
You know, it never happened
acoustic
back in the day.
Acoustic version.
You know what I'm saying? Alternate mix. Yeah. A lot of the singles do have a little bit different mixes, which is cool, but, you know, give me something, dude. Don't give me the same song I already got on the record, and now I got it on two singles.
Thanks.
It's a great fucking song, yes, but come on, dude. Yeah. So anyways, that did not chart. You know, they're coming off of Rock and Roll All Night at 68, which is nothing in all, you know, on a real level. 68 on a chart is nothing. So they come back with Come On and Love Me, back with the same damn song. It doesn't chart. So then, by this point, it's like, man, should they even do singles? They're not really selling any. You know? So, but then anyways, they come back October 14th, which is, it's kind of crazy if you think about it, from July 10th to October 14th, they're putting out singles from Dressed to Kill, and like 3 months later, the single from Alive's already out. The time frame of Kiss always blows my fucking mind. Everything is happening so fast for those dudes. And it totally fucking rules, you know. It's like, wow. So October 14th, 75, just, you know, mere months after the Come On Love Me single tanks, you know, the Rock and Roll All Night single comes out with the fucking live version on the one side and then the classic studio Dressed to Kill version on the back. But guess where it goes? Number 12 in the U.S.
Booyah.
So at least they're in the top 20. Finally, Kiss is getting a little bit of you know, making some headway at this rock and roll shit. And, you know, this just on the verge of becoming the Kiss we all know nowadays, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's pretty awesome. You know, we've all heard this song a million fucking times and we're basically burned out and we'll never listen to it by choice, really. But sometimes when I do hear it, it still fucking rocks, dude.
Right.
If, you know, once in a while I can love that song still. But yeah, it goes to number 12. So then it's like that was October 14th, correct?
Yep.
Yes.
So then March 1st, this is 76 already, Shout It Out Loud comes out back with Sweet Pain. Dude, that's awesome.
That's pretty good, man.
That's a good single. You know me, I love Sweet Pain.
Yeah.
And Shout It Out Loud's a good song until you've heard it a billion times, you know. Yeah. And it's still a good song, but did make number one in Canada. Kiss's first number one single.
Way to go, Kiss.
All right. And Canada. I mean, Canada knew before.
Way to go, Canada.
Did. You know, and our bros KST, they're right there in Canada. So they knew. People up there know, man. It's cool. 31 in the U.S.
Wow.
Yeah, see, I don't know. When I always thought of Kiss as a kid without looking at the charts, to me it seemed like they were always at number one, you know?
Yeah.
When you don't know anything about them, and it just seems like they would be on top of the charts. And
yeah.
Shit. Why, you know, radio didn't play them. I can remember when I was a kid, dude. It's a random thought for you, but I just remember when I was a kid, like, when I used to live at that house by fucking the Creamy and shit.
Yeah.
And, this was that long ago, but I had a babysitter. My mom worked at that little Creamy place.
Right.
And there's like these stoner kids that my mom, they were my babysitters. I'm sure my mom didn't know they were stoners, but I remember they would always lock me in my room and shit. And they'd be like, I'd ask them if I wanted to hear Kiss so bad, you know?
Yes.
And they'd be like, just turn it on, Casey, dude. They'll eventually come on. They never, ever came on. Yeah. Dude, I'd sit there for days because I thought these people would know because they were like long-haired types, and they told me to listen to fucking KC to, you know, hear some Kiss. Never happened. And it still never really happened to this day, you know? I mean, I don't listen to the radio like that, but, I mean, it just never happened. You know, they just weren't on the radio, dude. Kiss wasn't a radio band.
Yeah,
they're live. Sensation, but not a radio band. And all the best shit never really is on the radio. I mean, all my favorite bands will never be on the radio, you know?
Right.
I mean, radio's just the fucking fluff,
yes.
Basically, the bullshit, fucking middle-of-the-road crap, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All the really good shit is underground, and Kiss used to be underground. It's awesome. I love it. Kiss was like pre-punk, dude. In a way, you know?
Yeah.
They're in the scene with the Dolls and the fucking Brats and fucking, you know, everybody. Ramones were at Kiss shows. Ramones were at Dolls shows. Kiss was at Dolls shows.
Yeah.
It's all, like, connected and awesome.
Yes.
Anyways, so Sweet Pain comes out number one in Canada. That's pretty fucking cool. And then April 30th, 76, Flamin' Youth back with God of Thunder, dude. What do you think about that?
That's awesome.
Hell yeah, but it only made it to 73 in Canada. So it's like, dude, March, like 2 months basically, Kiss went from number one, and their next single's number 73. And Flaming Youth's way better than Shout It Out Loud, I think. Don't you?
Yeah!
God of Thunder's as strong as Sweet Pain. Sweet Pain a little better, but they're both really strong Gene songs.
Oh yeah, they're awesome.
And, but Flaming Youth should be a hit, dude. Don't you
agree?
That song rocks, man. Love that song. But nothing. I didn't write the U.S. You got it over there? It says 73 in Canada, though.
Yeah.
No U.S. chart at all? I wouldn't think so. I mean, if it jumped from 1 to 73 in Canada, I'm sure it jumped from 31 to, like,
I think
way off the charts, you know?
Yes.
Which is kind of interesting because at the time,
it was,
Kiss was 70, big,
74, 74 in the United States.
Oh, yeah?
I think, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's at least still something.
Yeah.
Not much, but something. So then they come back with the infamous, the Detroit Rock City backed with Beth. Yeah, this is what kind of trips me out, though. It didn't even chart in the U.S., okay? They're always talking about how their fucking DJs turned it around. Did their thing and it became some huge hit, but in reality, as far as this list is concerned, didn't even chart when it was Detroit backed with Beth, which actually was the Detroit as the A side. So then they put it out in August. That was July 28th, 76. Detroit backed with Beth, right?
Yes.
Did go to 99 in Canada, 14 in Germany. I have here. I don't even think it charted in the U.S. Or I probably would have wrote it down. But anyhow, it's like. Then in August 76, I don't even have the date, it just says August. But, you know, July 28th is the end of the month. So August,
right.
Beth comes out back with Detroit and goes to number 7.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's kind of strange. And then number 5 in Canada.
Right.
I just don't think that the DJs were that oblivious to B-sides, dude. You know? That they would have to actually press it as Beth as the single. You know, why couldn't they just...
Hey everyone, play the B-side instead of the A-side.
But play the song, I mean, listen to both sides. number one, and then number two, play the one that you like. Doesn't matter what side it's listed as. It just so happens that a record has two sides. You know what I mean?
Right. Flip it over. It's like a couple of times a day.
But it's always funny to me that that Kiss propaganda machine, you've heard it a million times. It's like, the DJs turned the record over and started, you know, and started playing Beth. It's like, no, they didn't. You pressed it that way. You know, according to this, I don't know. But you know how Kiss is. They have their spin, just like any other person and or band does. Which is all good. But yeah, it was just kind of weird that it happened that way. So it goes to what? Where were we? Number 7 in the US, and then number 5 in Canada. So it went from 99 to number 5 in Canada, just based on which side the song was on? It's goofy, dude. I don't understand that.
Weird.
I don't understand the thinking by the DJs of the time. It's like, when I buy a record, I still buy records. Like, I just got that Mask Intruder 7-inch. I listen to both sides. You know?
What?
Yeah. Imagine that. I actually played the B side. Oh my god.
Incredible.
I don't know. It just doesn't make sense.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to the Strange Ways podcast. Keep on rocking.
Where are we? So that was Beth. You know what I always thought was weird about Beth is like just the simple fact that all these kick-ass fucking rock tunes Kiss had. Even the singles, Beth's the one that breaks them, you know what I mean? It makes sense with when you look at any kind of music, it's like the soft pussy shit's what makes it, you know what I mean?
It's like the first power ballad.
Yeah. By like a hard rock band for sure. But, well, I don't know, you got Stairway to Heaven and shit.
Yeah.
But
that's
true. Dream On.
Never mind.
Yeah, but one of the first and better ones. But anyway, so Beth does chart big time. And all of a sudden, Peter Criss's head blows up, and it's kind of the beginning of the freaking end, right?
Weird type of person.
But after that, they come back with the obvious, let's exploit Peter Criss single, Hard Luck Woman, backed with Mr. Speed. What do you think?
I think it should have been reversed.
Right? Mr. Speed fucking rocks, dude.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite songs by Kiss. I just always thought that riff was awesome. Very Stonesy, pretty kick-ass.
Yes.
And, Mr. Speed should have been the fucking A-side. Hard Luck Woman, though, that's a no-brainer after coming off of Beth.
Yeah.
You're gonna exploit that voice, you know what I mean?
Might as well.
I would, if it was my label. I think most people would. You know, Hard Luck Woman, it's a good song and everything. I'm not saying I don't like it, but I would not. I don't know. I mean, I see why they did it, but I would have put, like, I don't know, I Want You back with Mr. Speed. Will that be a great single or what?
Yeah, that would have been...
I Want You is the strongest song on the album, probably. To my ear. Song fucking rocks, dude.
Yes.
So, that's Paul, dude.
Yeah,
I know. If we do, we gotta do that thing from Alive too, so you can be like, I want... You know what I'm saying?
I can remember when I was a kid doing that, like, because, dude, you know where I grew up. I mean, it was all in the country,
way out,
these great big hills and stuff in our yard and stuff.
Oh yeah,
I just remember like being a little kid up on that hill, being yelling that.
It's like a amphitheater. Like,
yeah, it was crazy.
You should probably get like a natural reverb.
Yeah, you get an echo through there.
That's pretty awesome. Those ones are fun, man. We used to sled down. There's that huge hill with that log in the middle, so you'd catch that air and shit.
Yeah.
We're talking like about what? That was like a long,
dude,
big,
I got
high heel hill.
Yeah, that was badass. But
yeah. Remember, your sister,
dude. Remember when she ate that, when we accused her of eating that booger,
the like frozen one.
Yeah, like she crashed and she stood up and she had that booger running down her face.
Yeah, so she comes and barreling then, down this 100-foot hill, crashes.
Yeah,
it's a frozen like snot. Like dripping out of her nose, it has frozen.
Yeah, it was
it's
like perfect, big when it was gross.
A perfect like sack of mucus frozen to her fucking face.
And So anyway, what's funny about that is like that story's been told, you know, so many times. Because right. like the next thing you know, we looked at her and the booger was gone.
Right.
And so automatically we made fun of her for eating the booger.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Of course we did.
And like it still goes on. Like I still make fun of her for that. But yeah. like a couple of years ago, Tina got real mad at me for making fun of my sister because I actually was making fun of her and she got upset or whatever.
No. Amy.
And anyway, like her and Tina were talking and Amy's like, "Girl, I ate that booger."
Oh, no. No, she did. She finally got to it.
After like 30 years
of something.
Yeah, at least. Yeah.
Relentless torture.
Probably 30 years of denial.
Right. Oh, damn. So, what did you say when you said the next time you saw her?
She didn't tell me right away.
Oh,
she
really?
Didn't tell me until after we left or whatever.
No.
It was hilarious.
Oh, no. That's hilarious. She finally admitted it.
Yeah.
I knew we saw her finally.
Yeah.
It couldn't have just disappeared.
Yeah, boogers don't just, like, go away.
Amy, you're busted.
You flick them or something.
That's hilarious. Does she ever listen to this podcast?
No,
I
doubt it.
She'll probably be glad she doesn't.
Yeah.
After this one goes out.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Oh, fuck no, she finally admitted it. That's great. Okay, so where were we? We're doing what? Hard Luck Woman and Back with Mr. Speed, right?
Yes.
Did it chart? Yeah. It actually went to the 15 in the U.S. and
yeah,
Canada,
that's
both.
Good.
So yeah, they were riding high after Beth, dude. Yes! Now Peter Criss's fucking ego is probably really off the charts. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And if you look at their history, I mean, obviously that's true. He's about to be out of the band
right.
pretty soon after all this, and then he just does music like that forever, which sucks.
Yeah.
I don't know that many Kiss fans that really, really, really like Peter's solo shit. Do you?
No.
I don't either. It's terrible. It's so pussy. You know what I mean? It's just so, I don't even know how to say it. It's just too light rock for me. I like shit that fucking rocks.
Right.
Peter's solo shit just doesn't. So anyways, that was Hard Luck Woman, Back with Mr. Speed, 15, the U.S. and Canada. Next up, yeah, February 13th, 77. Now this is a good single. Calling Dr. Love, Back with Take Me.
Yeah.
Fuck yes. That's a good combination.
I like Take Me. I don't know.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
It could easily been the A side, but you know, Dr. Love's a great Gene song.
Yeah.
One of the better
without
ones.
Without a doubt.
Probably the best one on that album, for sure. That Gene sings.
And it's the combination of different dudes like
right.
you like.
Yeah, it's like, boom. That's a great single. Calling Dr. Love, Back with Take Me. Take Me is a fucking awesome song. The actual single, I have the single for this one, as far as I have that Casablanca's box set of singles. And the Take Me on there does sound really different than the actual Rock and Roll Over, man.
Huh.
I don't know if you've heard it, but it's way different. Like, you'll hear it, because I'll put it on the episode, since we're talking about it, but it's like, when they say take me, it just sounds so much different. It has this weird delay like they would live almost. Like,
yeah.
Take me, me, me. It's real crazy.
Huh.
It's pretty cool. It's a good mix of it. And, you know, Calling Dr. Love has a smoking ass lead from Ace, dude.
Yeah.
We haven't said anything about Ace lately, but goddamn,
yeah.
He rips on that one, dude.
Yeah, I love
it. Oh, my God. That's one of my favorite Ace solos, when he starts off all low. He doesn't do that all the time.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome, dude. The tone he's getting and everything. So where did that one go as far as the charts? What's up with that one? Came out in 77. 16 in the U.S. Number 2 in Canada. Number 2 in Canada.
Wow.
It's like the Canadians know what's up, dude. The problem is there's not that many great bands from Canada. I mean, you could count them on two hands. Easy. If I say to you, quick, name me 5 bands from Canada that don't suck, what you got?
I got Rush.
What are we waiting for?
And, I know a bunch of cool punk rock bands from Canada. Got Chicks Dig It. Fuck Tegan and Sarah from Canada. Diglo Abortions. But I mean, there's not a lot. Rush is the one, you know? Rush is the big Canadian band. They're like the Canadian Kiss, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wonder what if in Canada. We'll have to ask our KST bros. Is Rush as big as fucking, like, is it as Kiss? What? You'd think they would be. Tegan and Sarah, too, man. I mean, they're huge worldwide. I wonder what it's like in Canada for them. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of famous Canadians, without a doubt.
Yeah. Fuck, Chicks Dig, it's one of my favorites, dude. That band rocks, man. If you haven't checked them out, go check them out, dude. They're fucking awesome. So anyways, Take Me as the B-side, interesting choice. Calling Dr. Love Strong, oh, man, I could see him doing that. It's about time Gene had a strong single. I mean, Rock and Roll All Night, obviously, but if you look at the list, he doesn't have any A-sides except Rock and Roll All Night until Calling Dr. Love, you know, in 77. It's kind of wild.
Yes.
Number two in Canada, though. That's fucking cool. Oh, no, wait. Oh, yeah, I'm looking at the right one. Cool. So that's February 13th. And then June 1st, they drop Christine back to... Christine 16, that is, back with Shock Me. And that's a good single, too, dude. Paul's not represented, but man, oh, man. Shock Me. You know, Shock Me. That's all you gotta say. I think I would have made that the A-side, though. They probably didn't want to give Ace any kind of A-sides for whatever reason. Because he was such a fuck up in the band, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They didn't want to let him out the gate quite yet, you know what I mean?
Yes.
When you look at his solo album stacked up against the others, I mean, Ace was hot right then and there, you know what I mean? He was on a roll and it kicks ass, dude. I love Ace, you know that. But Christine 16 is a good song. You know, there's the whole rumor that that solo might be Eddie Van Halen. Even if Ace might have played it, the sound of it does, it's kind of a. It doesn't sound like something Ace would have came up with himself at all. I mean, it's not pentatonic. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah!
So it's just, it's not an Ace-like solo. But so what did that one do? It did 25 in the U.S. That's respectable.
Yeah.
But 22 in Canada. It's weird how Kiss in Canada will go from like number 1 to fucking number 73 and then number 2 to 22. It isn't quite as jump, but it's still, it's like, wow.
That's it, I'm moving.
It's like, to me, Calling Dr. Love is... I mean, Christine's at 16 is just as good as Dr. Love, is it not? I don't know. I like it just as much. I don't know. It's a different sound, you know, different records. But Christine 16,
yeah,
I guess, was the
awesome.
First. That's the first single off of Love Gun, which is kind of an odd choice. You know what I'm saying? You couldn't release that today as your first single with that creepy Gene part in the middle. It just wouldn't happen. You couldn't do it. But I mean, off Love Gun, why the hell would you put Christine 16 as the first single when you got I Stole Your Love lurking about and fucking even Love Gun itself? Shock Me, fucking. I always loved Almost Human. We'll get there when we get there. So what did that one do? 25 and 22 in Canada.
Yes.
Then on July 31st, 77, what they got? Looks like Love Gun backed with what?
I Stole Your Love.
Man. Now see, that's a kick-ass single. It didn't even chart. It's
they should have...
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's weird. It doesn't make sense.
I Stole Your Love is the strongest song on Love Gun, and that's why I'm putting my... That's my choice, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree.
I Stole Your Love is one of the best Kiss songs, dude. Period.
Yeah.
That fucking rocks, and that should have been the first single, dude. Like, even when they come out on Phantom, when they play I Stole Your Love, dude, you can't beat that, man. That fucking rules, dude. I don't know. To me, it does. So Love Gun, backed with I Stole Your Love, does not even chart in the U.S. Goes to 41 in Canada, though. That's respectable for Canada, you know? At least it did something. But see, the perception is by 77, Kiss was on top of the world, dude, but they weren't on the radio still. We all knew that all along, but it's just crazy when you think about how huge they were, and they still weren't on the radio. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, there's not too many bands that could do that. The Ramones did it, I guess.
Yeah.
They were never on the radio.
Right.
Like, shit, they were big enough to be in their own movie, you know?
Yeah.
And it buries the Kiss movie, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Not that I don't love Phantom of the Park, but the Ramones movie as a movie is just better, you know? It makes sense and everything. You know? You're not scratching your head at the end going, what the fuck? But I tell you what, though, the first time you saw Phantom, was it not the coolest shit you ever saw?
Yeah, it was awesome. I just got home from trick-or-treating.
Right. I remember it as a kid, but I'm talking about like when we got the video back in the day.
Yeah.
When it was at Walmart, you know, the Good Times video.
Yeah.
To me, when we first saw that, it's like, you know, we'd seen all these pictures of Kiss in makeup, but we weren't old enough to have seen them in makeup, right? So it's like, there they were, and it's like crystal clear, know, walking around in the Love Gun suits and talking and breathing.
Right.
It's just like you got to just look at Kiss for, you know, once they finally get there. It always drove me crazy. It's like the first, probably, what, half hour, 45 minutes, Kiss isn't even in the damn movie.
Right.
You're going, come the fuck on. I've been on TV in the day. There was probably 10 commercials and you still haven't seen Kiss. And you're going, what the fuck? They're just going to, it's like almost as bad as a Detroit Rock City where they just show up at the end and play like two songs
yeah.
in the whole Kiss movie. You know, it doesn't make sense. At least with the Ramones, there's all kinds of
shit.
Movie,
though.
Yeah, I like that movie a lot, actually. It was pretty good. I actually saw that in a theater when it was new, and it was all badass when that opening credits with all that Kiss memorabilia and 70s shit. It was awesome, dude. I loved it. But, okay, so that was Christine back with Shock Me. And, no, that wasn't. That was Love Gun back with I Stole Your Love. Stoners. Goddamn meatloaf, bud. That's all I'm going to say. I could tell you the story, but we don't need to let the people know. So anyways, that doesn't even chart in the U.S. And then 77 in September. I don't have the date, do you? You have the actual day of the month? So, okay, so sometime in September 77, Then She Kissed Me back with Almost Human. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I liked And Then She Kissed Me when I was a kid. So.
Me too, man. I'm not a hater of that song. I love the girl group shit. And so I just dig it.
Right.
I love the castanet sound. I like, Paul sounds phenomenal.
Yes.
You know, it's not your typical Kiss song, but you know, Kiss can do whatever the fuck they want. And it's always going to be pretty cool. But that's, we talked about this a little bit in the last time that when we tried to do this episode, but I don't think that this one, it wasn't like, it's not in the Casablanca box that I got. And I don't know if it was like just came out elsewhere or what, but it didn't chart in the US. It did make it to 78 in Australia. So.
Weird.
That is kind of weird because when I think of Kiss in Australia, I start thinking Unmasked, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I guess they were doing pretty good in 77. I mean, that's the only chartings that I have written down, 78 in Australia. But I mean, what a great single to find. Wouldn't you love to find that in a record store?
Yes.
Then She Kissed Me back with Almost Human. I mean,
that would be awesome.
Those are both kind of B-sides, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It'd be cool to have them both on one record. I don't know, I would dig it. I'd buy it in a heartbeat if I ever see it, I will. But, so that didn't really do much in here in the U.S., surprisingly. I mean, two great songs, I think. But then, okay, that was September 77. October 14th, 77, Shout It Out Live, backed with what?
None other than
Jesus
Nothing
Christ.
To Lose. Okay, we get Nothing it. You guys like this song.
Really, really like
you
Anal Sex, Gene. We get
named
it,
named a book that.
Yeah, the book, the song. That makes, what, three times that song's been on a record?
Yes.
Besides the actual albums. And this is another thing we could talk about, too, is remember, we talked about it just a little bit, but back in the day when all the shit came back around, I think it was 85, they did the reissues. But a lot of those original Kiss albums, like their original debut, would have the fucking live Nothing to Lose on it instead of the studio.
Yeah.
And I just think that's fucking weird. Why would they do that?
I noticed that.
It's like maybe when they were reissuing them, they were listening back to the first Kiss album. They're like, geez, that piano's fucking gay. You know,
yeah.
Or fuck that. Let's just put the live version on. But Charlie had that, and actually our boys from Podcast Rock City were talking about Rick, I think, was who was saying he has an Kiss album with, you know, Nothing to Lose live. I was like, man, I know for sure Charlie had that. And I think you have it, don't you?
What is it?
It's a Kiss, the debut Kiss album. It was on a tape, I think, what Charlie had. But, you know, one of those old tapes with, like, the art on the top and then just the credits on the bottom. And no inner tray or anything, but... You know, just the Kiss album on cassette.
I can go look.
Like
I know exactly where it's
tape.
At.
Really?
It's like right
I don't think
in
it's listed
right
as
there.
Being live, though. It just is. You know what I'm saying?
I would have to look. Well, I would have to buy a cassette player.
Right. Yeah. Rig something up, man. I don't know. But I'm not that interested to find out.
Right.
It's like, it's just crazy that they, you know, like we said, man, what is their fascination with this song? It's not that great, dude. It's not one of the best Kiss songs, man. Let it go. It's just... come on, dude. It's just, I don't know. Off the First Kiss album, there's next? So many classic songs, dude. Cold Gin, Black Diamond, Dude, Strutter.
Yeah.
Fucking Let Me Know. I mean, you know, there's a bunch of really great ones.
Yeah.
I just don't understand great it. Ones. I mean, the First Kiss album is like the standard issue. It's like, it's the shit, dude. Started everything. Okay, so that was what? That was Shout Out Loud with the infamous Nothing to Lose. That went to 54 in the U.S. I don't have any other stats. But, you know, I do like that. I prefer that version of Shout It Out Loud, the Alive 2 version, versus Destroy It All Day Long. Don't you?
Yes.
I mean, all day.
Yes, on and out.
For sure. Okay, so then, what is next here?
Rocket Ride.
Backed with Tomorrow and Tonight Live.
Yay!
It's pretty cool. If you listen to, I have that one on the Casablanca box, and it is a weird edit of Rocket Ride. It like makes it much shorter. You know, like when it breaks down, it's like, it just starts ascending.
Yeah.
For like four times, I think, maybe eight on the original. I can't remember. But on the single, it's like twice, and then straight into the come on, grab a hold of my rocket. It's fucking awesome. It actually sounds pretty groovy that way. It's like, I don't know, just more to the point. You know what I'm saying? It's pretty cool. And then that's backed with what? Oh, the Tomorrow and Tonight Live. It's like Paul Stanley Live. There's like eight Pauls on there. It's awesome.
Cosmic.
The backgrounds are all Paul, and you know me and Paul. I love that fucker. I know you do too. You were Paul when we were kids, and still are as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
Even while we're sitting here, I don't know if it's the meatloaf, but you look just like Paul to me.
It must be the meatloaf. That's what this lady one time, it's a funny story. Yeah. I don't even really know her. She worked at the gas station by my house, and one day she's like, she met my wife, I guess. My wife, she's pretty good looking or whatever. Right, right. And the next time I come in there, she's like, man, I met your wife. She's good looking or whatever. And she's like, you must either have a lot of money or a huge dick. And I'm like, well, I ain't got any money.
Right. Yeah. And the third choice is a whole lot of cocaine.
That's what usually does the trick.
That's the joke at the bar. It's like anytime these old dudes come in with these fine women and shit, it's like, you must have either a lot of money, huge cock, or a bunch of coke. You
know, or all of the above. Yeah.
Maybe all three. At least two of them. Because you gotta have a lot of money to have shit tons of coke, which makes your penis very small. So yes. I don't know.
Is it really worth it?
Yes, no, it's not. That's my answer. I say free the weed and fuck everything else. That's my answer. But you know me. And this ain't a normal rally, so let's get back to Kiss. Anyways, so that does what? 39 in the US? That's respectable.
Yes.
Top 40. Barely. You know?
Yeah, yo.
Okay, so then I don't know what you got as far as your dates over there, but it just says, well, it says April 2nd, 78, Strutter 78, back with Shock Me.
Right.
See, I don't know. Shock Me again is the B side. So come on.
It should be an A side.
It should have been an A side, sure. And it should there should never be the same B side twice. That's my feelings. Don't
retarded.
Do the same shit over and over. Come on.
That's
you have this huge catalog of shit, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't make any kind of sense to just keep putting the same songs out, especially when they're not even charting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't really... I could see them, like, now they put out greatest hits so everyone can get their copy of Rock and Roll All Night or whatever, but back then, it's like, dude, spread your music around other people. Quit giving them the same two songs. But you know how their set list is? It's kind of the same old story, too, you know what I mean? But, what did that do? 89 in Australia? Is that all it has? All I have. I like the Strutter 78. You like that version? It's a little different. It's kind
like
of Dynasty-esque.
Yeah, I like the original one better.
I guess they just wanted something to represent double platinum. I would have, they've already done Hard Luck Woman, but you know me, I prefer the Hard Luck Woman on double platinum to, you know, Rock It All Over.
Yeah.
They could have done that. But Strutter 78 is just, you know, I always thought that it was a drum machine, but apparently it's Peter. That's what someone said, but it doesn't really sound like it to me. I like that the guitars are a little beefier, you know, and Paul sounds real good, and Ace has a different lead that fucking rocks, you know. You could tell they've come a long way, but they should have just had Peter rip it, you know. rather than all the 16ths on the hi-hat and all that. I don't know. It's not for me. And Paul cries at the end of it, according to Charlie Soult. Paul's crying at the end.
Dude, I don't like it when Paul cries.
I feel bad for him, too. It's like, I'll give him a hanky.
I'll beat somebody up if they make him cry.
I will, too, man. We got Paul's back, yo. Fuck anybody that has a problem with Paul. That guy in the laser pointing in his face, I would have punched him in his face for Paul.
Yeah.
He asked me to.
I'd take a bullet for that dude.
Paul Stanley's like Kiss. He's the man. You know, I love them all, but Paul, I have a special... I mean, Paul is Kiss, dude.
Yeah.
You know, when we were kids, I was all about Gene, but now it's all about Paul for me. Unless they bring Ace back.
Yeah.
You know, then I'll make that shift again. But,
I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.